the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
This is a Thanksgiving Day episode of the Parker Livecast because we'll be off next week, so this is going to be a whole
Thanksgiving Day episode a week in advance.
Yes, and when I say Thanksgiving Day, I mean, you know, the whole Thanksgiving. I'm just going to say the whole Thanksgiving fortnight, which is an old British word. You know, this is what this is all about here today. So how are you guys?
Good.
You guys probably think we're batshit crazy. You're like, oh, these guys are, you know, giving Thanksgiving. It goes back to the pilgrims, right? And, you know,
We go nuts with it. We go nuts with everything.
We don't have any Thanksgiving.
Europeans, but yeah, I know, but what do Europeans think of all these American holidays, really? Do you guys just, like, what the hell is the matter with you people?
Well, see, and we have our own holidays, but it is not the same. You're right. It is a little different. First of all, for Halloween, just an example because it was one that we just did. Halloween is for kids over there. I mean, the kids will get dressed up, not adults.
So they don't have theme parties for adults over there?
No.
Why not?
Because, look, adults are living these boring lives, and they don't want to step out of it for 2 seconds. I think
that's unfortunate. They should really try.
They should try a little bit harder. Yeah. For example, like St. Patrick's Day. Never seen a green beer till I come over here. Even corned beef and cabbage, we don't have that over there.
Irish like St. Patrick's Day.
Traditional Irish meal that's not made in Ireland.
In fact, I don't know how interested you are in that subject, but corned beef was made in Ireland to ship elsewhere. We had beef back home. People say, well, why don't you have corned beef in Ireland? No, it was corned beef is like salted processed beef.
Yeah, very well preserved.
We preserved it for shipping. We didn't need to preserve it to eat it in Ireland. We just slaughtered a cow and ate it. But you put it in a can, that means it's going elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, essentially corned beef is the product that people not from Ireland associate with Ireland, not the Irish. Yeah.
And why don't they call it salted beef?
I have no idea.
Probably because it won't sell.
What do you guys do for Thanksgiving? Is there any special traditions?
Turkey, man.
We're going to be going to Prescott.
Nice.
You know, my sister's coming down from Colorado. My brother's up there. So should be a good time.
I've heard like a squillion zillion, which is a real thing. Look it up. Ways to do turkey.
Well,
like,
there are, yeah.
It is really crazy. One thing that I've tried before that was very successful, I think, was the upside down turkey in the oven. Because it makes sense, all the juices from the turkey flow into the breast, which is what you want. You want those
breasts to be.
Who doesn't, right?
Exactly. Who doesn't want a firm breast to be juicy?
So the point is that put it upside down and that happens and it makes it more flavorful and whatever. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, we tried something new last year. We dug the pit.
We digged it.
Well, I do dig the pit. We dug it. Actually, I tried to start digging it. And then what's his face? What's that guy's name that came over with the backhoe?
What's his face with the backhoe?
We call him Backhoe Ron.
Backhoe Ron. Mm-hmm. Backhoe Ron came over and just like with one scoop did more than I did in 3 hours.
Right.
I should have called him earlier.
It was humiliating.
Yeah. But we buried it. We buried the steel drum and we had a successful deep pit roasted turkey.
It tasted really good.
I got to tell you, I love, we don't do it. We just, you know, just traditionally bake a turkey. I mean, it's nothing fancy, but I've had deep fried turkey quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. But I think it's a little dangerous. You got to really know what you're doing. You see all those videos on YouTube, people burning down their houses.
Nine out of ten home fires in the holidays start with a fryer.
Faces are getting blasted by hot, boiling oil.
Right.
They put the frozen turkey in there.
Yeah.
That turkey will explode. Upon contact with
you're supposed
that
to thaw it completely
thaw
out.
It out.
Probably one of the best, and I hate ranch dressing. I'm probably one of the few people in America that hate ranch dressing.
You hate it, really?
But, I can't stand the stuff. But,
you really hate that ranch dressing.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't even want it near anything I touch. But,
right.
I had an uncle. He injected a turkey with ranch dressing and then deep fried it. And it was like ridiculously good.
Really?
Whoa. Injected it with ranch and then deep fried it.
Yeah. No, stuff was so
Is this
amazing.
Uncle also a warlock? Because that's the kind of stuff I'd expect from a sorcerer.
Probably been called that a few times, among other things.
Last year, I posted a poll to Parker Live asking Parker Live readers, which is our demographic, how they were doing their turkey. And 40% said oven roasted right side up. 20% said other. I wonder if they wrote the others on there. Oh, here we go. Oven braised.
Hmm.
Someone wrote, monster turkey on steroids like beer can chicken, but with monster energy drink. Whoa. Now, that's a Parker turkey right there. Monster energy drink, monster turkey on steroids. But then we had items like deep fried, 15% said deep fried. Deep pitted or buried, 10% said that. Oven roasted upside down, another 10%. And then 5% said grilled. So some people are going into the outdoor grills there and they're doing
an entire turkey.
Yeah. Wow. Which I presume means with the spit roast thing where it turns around.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
on
more
the grill.
Of a rotisserie, but
yeah,
still.
I think grill, I mean, I literally think sitting the whole thing on the grill.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a very slow heat. That's got to be a low heat to get that whole bird.
Yeah, so I'm going, I want the part that's on the grill. I don't want the top part.
Yeah, I don't want the stuffing, dude. That's going to kill you.
And in relation to the holidays, I did a poll last year asking Parker Live readers where they would be spending the holidays, and the options were in the Parker area relaxing, so wherever they're from, whether they're from here or elsewhere, in the Parker area relaxing, at home elsewhere, that's another option, at home elsewhere, or elsewhere visiting family. In other words, they're not from there, but they're going. So the breakdown was 64% in the Parker area relaxing, 23% elsewhere visiting family, and 13% at home elsewhere, so people not coming to the river. But that tells me that there were a lot of people from elsewhere who were coming to the river for Thanksgiving. And you know how you can tell? If you go to the Desert Bar on Thanksgiving weekend,
great.
There's like 1,000, 1,200 people there at any given time, the whole weekend long. It's incredible. And they got a really good band out there.
They always do a great job.
And you have the officers just loving life because they're, you know, making their quota of DUIs on that road that weekend.
Yeah, right.
Quite a bit pulled over.
BLM Rangers.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of law enforcement real quick, I want to call Sheriff's Department Lieutenant Kirk Bagby. And just to set this up, last week we did a bit. Great show last week, by the way, with Julie LeBenz. Thanks to Julie for coming in, and we did a whole bit on that.
It was awesome.
It was great, right? Because we learned a lot, and also I thought it was pretty entertaining because I listened to it back, and I was like, you know, we made the law sound pretty entertaining there. We did a whole bit on marijuana law and how and what the differences were between the California side of the river and the Arizona side of the river. And one of the things that Julie mentioned was that if you have a California prescription medical marijuana card, on the Arizona side of the river, you would not be prosecuted. But when we talked about the law enforcement side, the thought that we had was that you might still be arrested if you had that card.
And then have to figure it out after the fact.
Hey, Lieutenant Bagby, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, real good. And you were telling me that that's not exactly the way it works?
No, we're trying to do what the voters wanted, and they chose to have legalized medicinal marijuana in the state. You know, each person, if they have a valid card and they're complying with all the rules, even people from other states who come in are able to have the marijuana. The only difference may be, you know, if they maybe like Maryland says they can carry a pound, they still have to comply with our amount. It's 2.5 ounces that a person can have.
So 2.5 ounces of medicinal marijuana.
Right.
And what you're saying is, and this is the distinction that we maybe got a little wrong last week and we're able to clarify now, is that if somebody is, say, from California and they have a California card, even though they don't have an Arizona medical marijuana card, that we will recognize that card. The sheriff's office here will not arrest them for having that personal amount.
I think maybe a good way to look at it is just like a driver's license.
Okay.
You know, everybody's got one. And the difference, the problem we're having is some of the other states don't have an online system for us to verify what a card looks like. And just like a driver's license, we want to know the validity of each. There could be times that somebody comes from a state where it looks like it's written in crayon or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might get seized, but our objective is to hold it. And then if they can come in and prove the proper paperwork, then it would be returned.
I see. And so the idea is that if they have a card that you can't immediately verify, that you guys will help them work on verifying it.
Right. It's not just a matter of, you know, ha-ha, we're taking it and we're burning it, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, we still try to work. And the other thing she touched on last week that is a little bit scary is the whole DUI factor.
Yes.
That is a whole other issue. I did want to touch a little bit on, they were talking about how if somebody gets pulled over and there's some metabolites or, you know, the marijuana in their system, but the officers are still going to base their information off of a level of impairment.
Yeah, so they're still going to do the same impairment qualifications or whatever, those tests at the side of the road or whatever.
Right. And, you know, we pulled over a lot of people that were sober and let them go. They, you know, they may have a weird driving pattern because they were texting.
Mm.
You know, we think they're intoxicated, but we put them through the tests, realize they're not, and they're on their way. If a person you know, happen to use medicinal marijuana a couple of days before, they're not feeling the effects. It's still in their blood, of course, and that is something we've all discussed. I mean, it is something that you have intoxicated with alcohol, you can pretty much tell immediately their level of not impairment, but their blood alcohol level.
Right, right.
There's no system like that for marijuana yet. Mm-hmm. So we just have to use, and I know it scares a lot of people, but common sense, and hope that, you know, common sense prevails, person's not impaired, the investigation doesn't go any further.
Right.
So the test for marijuana impairment, that is the same as for alcohol, or does the officer open a bag of Cheetos and if they're attacked by the driver, that
might be
one
a sign.
Of the tests.
Yeah, that's
one of the tests. Okay, I was just checking. Yeah,
that's
okay.
One of the signs.
I got to ask you, Kurt, because I'm, you know, I don't know anything about weed really, and I'm pulling
what
up.
That's they all say.
Yeah. anyways, I'm pulling up a picture. And you said 2.5 ounces, right? Is where you guys draw the line. So I'm pulling up a picture of 1 ounce of weed. And it looks like a ridiculously large amount. Well, and I'm thinking 2.5, like, that's one heck of a case of glaucoma if you're carrying more than that.
No, it looks like the mother load.
Wow.
You know,
really?
When you pull over, you got to figure it's not only a leafy substance, but it's already been dried out.
So it's,
so
you're right.
It takes a lot of volume to make weight. And so you think, oh my gosh, I just scored. You know, this is going to some other, you know, country or something. This is, and you realize, oh, it's only 2.5 ounces.
Right. So it is a personal amount in the sense of the medical marijuana law that we have in Arizona.
Right.
Now, the other question I had for you, and it was one that came up very briefly last week, and that is this idea of having the marijuana in a prescription bottle, is that a requirement of the law or is it not? Is it a gray area?
It is a gray area. However, in La Paz County, I sat down with the county attorney and the staff, I think it was last week, because this question has come up. And just to explain why, if you live within 25 miles of a dispensary, it's not legal to grow marijuana. You have to go to the dispensary to pick up your marijuana.
Well, that's the whole Parker area out because we have a dispensary.
Right. And then I went on Google Earth and did like a little circle. There's one in Courtside, I believe. There's one in Parker. So we're pretty much all covered until you get to the midway. I'm thinking around Vicksburg to Siloam for our county.
Okay. So eastern part of La Paz County.
Right. Then they can grow. And there's a requirement is how many plants, and they go through all that. And so the reason I explain all of that, if you're in Siloam and you have a prescription for marijuana, and you can legally get it from somebody there because there's no dispensary within 25 miles, that person is not going to give you a prescription pill bottle.
Right.
You know, calling himself a doctor, all the requirements. And the law reads that if you're going to get a prescription, it should be in a bottle. It should have the pharmacy, the doctor's name, the type of drug, and your name.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not going to happen with marijuana. Because there are so many requirements of people being able to grow it at home, it doesn't seem like it would be reasonable for us to try to enforce that. So
right.
The long answer is a person is able to carry it in a little baggie or, you know, whatever container of their choice.
Because essentially some of them are able to grow it, some of them are not. And
right.
And so from an enforcement standpoint, it's just difficult to do.
It wouldn't be fair. You know, it wouldn't be fair to sit there and, I mean, you'd be conducting such a long investigation, trying to do, okay, so did you get this in an area where you're allowed, and all for a misdemeanor, essentially. I mean, it is a felony, but it would be dropped to misdemeanor, so it just wouldn't be worth the time.
Right.
And again, we don't want to circumvent what try to bring into law.
Kurt, thank you so much. You wanted to say a little bit about the DUI thing real quick, or did we cover that?
I think we covered it. I just think that the main thing is I just don't like the feeling that the officers are just looking, you know, to get people. There's going to be times where, you know, it's very, I think she was mentioning last week something, but it is, you know, it's hard to do FSTs. And it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the cops' worst nightmares is asked, oh, court, well, why don't you go out and do FSTs and show everybody how easy it is? And it's not easy.
No.
But you hope that the officer can get good enough at it to have watched it and tell the difference between nerves and somebody who's truly impaired. You know, and if that's the case and it leads you down the path where you believe that the person's impaired, then in a situation with marijuana, as opposed to alcohol, you may have to take their blood and send them home and wait for the results. You don't want to I don't personally want to put somebody in jail and then get the blood results later and find out there was no marijuana in the system.
Right. You guys are concerned about that.
Right. So you see if you can get them signed over to a responsible party if possible and then wait for the return on the blood, and then, you know, you just go from there.
No, law enforcement is a tough job, and you guys sound like you're exercising a lot of common sense, and we all appreciate that. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us.
thank you, guys. We have a good evening.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, Lieutenant Kurt Bagby there, La Paz County Sheriff's Department.
Really nice guy.
Really nice guy. And it's music to my ears when I hear law enforcement people speaking. And we do have a lot of great agencies around here who talk a lot of common sense, you know, when it comes to things like that. And the fact that they're not going to run after people, medical patients, and start to throw them in jail, like, that's music to my ears.
Well, you said it right there in the beginning. We're trying to do what the voters want.
One of the things that appeared on Parker Live this week that made quite a splash on our site was a report about Highway 62 and how deadly it is compared to other roads. The Desert Sun newspaper, they did a whole investigation that lasted months and months and a report on how deadly Highway 62 is, and I reported a bunch of their statistics and things like that. Let me ask you this. When you guys are going to Southern California from Parker,
yes,
do you take 62 or do you take another route?
I've taken both.
Would you tend to take 62?
Because
I would. I'd normally, up until this report came out, I would have just as easily taken
62. That's what we usually
62.
Take when we go to L.A.
Rice Road?
Yeah. I 99% of the time, I take Rice Road, hit Desert Center, and then go.
Right, So I analyzed these 16 fatalities that happened between 2002 and 2012, which doesn't sound like a lot. And in a way, that's actually a way to categorize it in your mind and to frame it, because 16 fatalities over a 10-year period.
1.6 every year.
Your
check
odds
you
are
out, mathematician.
Your odds are still good, right? I mean, it's not like this is.
And what are those accidents involved? Is it driver fault? Is it trying to pass?
Well,
when you shouldn't pass.
This is the interesting part. So one of the things that the report said, this is an east-west road, so the sun is blinding people a lot in the mornings and the evenings. Well, I looked at the stats and I couldn't find that, at least for our stretch of the road. The majority of the incidents happen in the daytime, between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., so the sun would not be much of an issue there. Speed didn't seem to be a particularly prevalent factor.
I think it's people falling asleep, to be honest with you. Normally, people traveling that road aren't going
home
drunk. They're not going home drunk. It's not one of those you're going to drive drunk.
No.
I think it's people just literally tired from a long weekend. Maybe, you know how the sun is. It gets warm and you're tired.
Yeah, there have been some thoughts, too, about the engineering of the road. There's a lot of, like, what I would call a technical term here, whoop-de-woos, where it's...
Whoop-de-woos?
I mean, and so that's an issue, I think, in terms of the ability to keep the vehicle between those two magic lines. And there's not a lot of room for error was what some of the...
Well, there's no runoff. I mean, it's soft, soft sand right to the
right.
So
if you drift into the opposite lane, you could be in a head-on. If you drift the other way to the right, you could be in the dirt and
catch
roll over.
Catch a tire...
Yeah. Well, people get in the sand and they get nervous and they overcorrect. Yeah.
And in actual fact, 9 out of the 16 were head-on, and the other 7 were single vehicle accidents going off the road and hitting the embankment and rolling over and that sort of thing.
So there you go. It's a lane issue.
So it's a lane issue. Now, what they're doing on the western side of 62 is they're expanding that to 6 lanes at some point. There's a plan. It's going to be a future plan.
But we get up to 20 deaths every 10 years, they're going to do that. That's what they're waiting for.
It takes them 10 years to fix the road. So.
Right.
And then people will complain, too. Oh, there's construction.
And Caltrans is a little bit on the defensive on this issue because they are being implicated sort of like the engineering of the road is not helping and the fact that there's no shoulder and there's no rumble strips in parts of the road and that sort of thing.
In Caltrans' defense, that road's been there since the dawn of time.
Right.
I mean, I think dinosaurs walked on that
road.
It
was a major thoroughfare of dinos.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, when that was designed, there wasn't engineering involved. It's let's lay asphalt across the desert.
Really? Yeah.
Let's try to get over there.
I mean, that was what Patton had his training out there. I think Patton laid the road or something.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's probably only been incremental improvement since then. So the point is, this is not a freeway, but yet it approaches freeway speeds at sometimes. So that's the issue with the road. Now, there is Mojave Road that goes through Route 1, goes right through the Crit Valley and all the way through to Ehrenberg and then the 10 from there. Very straight. A little bit slower as a road.
20 minutes. We've timed it both ways.
Okay, good. Because I was going to. I'm glad you know. What do you think the difference is? Would you have said about 20, Josh? Because we've been hearing anecdotally
on a bike
people for years saying,
oh, geez.
That's the last time.
Forget about the bike. 30 to 45 minutes difference, and all of this, and this is why they won't drive Mojave Road. The difference in distance between the routes is only 11 miles.
Oh.
Navigation software estimates the time saved is at much less than half an hour. The average estimate was 16 minutes. If you ask Google, Apple, Bing, Yahoo, MapQuest, they all differ a little bit, but the average, if you average it all out, what they say, it's about 16 minutes, which sort of tallies pretty closely with what you're saying, about 20.
I've done the drive in the middle of the week, mm-hmm. when you didn't have to deal, like on a Wednesday, with traffic either direction, and I've literally left in the early in the morning, come back in the evening when there wasn't a time when there was a lot of traffic, going one way and then coming back, it was exactly 20 minutes difference. So
okay. And is that enough to get you to, knowing everything that you know and knowing that you'll maybe be 20 more minutes on your drive, which is not a lot. If you stop off at In-N-Out in Indio, you're going to be another 10, 15, right, in rush hour or whatever. Is the difference worth it? That's my question.
Depends, you know. If I'm being a road warrior and doing a trip in one day, I'm going to take the quickest way. I don't care. You know, I've got my daughter, and, you know, when we're going to L.A. to visit people or something, and she's in the car, we go through Blythe just because I don't want to go through whoop-de-doos and have her in the backseat, you know.
Technical term
stars
there.
And, yeah, we'll go down the interstate because there's, less chances of car sickness.
Right.
I like that choice.
Plus a racer, Josh, if we could just talk about Jimmy while he's in the room,
yes.
might have a different conception of the idea of risk than you and I would.
This is true. Although when it comes to our children, it should be pretty close.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he was just saying. Yeah. So, yeah, I have to admit, this made me think a little bit. I might just opt for the Valley now.
Yeah, I love that road. That's a great little drive right there.
It's also very pretty. I remember when we were back on that weekend. What was that huge, all the floods, and we had that one picture.
That was weekend of August 3rd.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're throwing out the mathematical stats. You're throwing out the dates. Like, you studied up for today's episode or something. I mean, I'm impressed here, Josh.
Sorry,
Jared.
I'm having a Rain Man moment. Let's go to the casino.
I want to go play blackjack with you tonight.
Yeah.
Card counting and everything else, I bet.
Speaking of road and speed, Jimmy's buddy Ken Block did Gymkhana 7 this past week. Pretty incredible. You guys saw it. Josh, did you see it?
I got to actually see the car in person, and I got to tell you, it's pretty amazing.
You tell me in 10 seconds, tell the listeners in 10 seconds what this is about?
Yeah, well, he's got this viral video. I mean, he is the one who created the term viral video with Gymkhana 1.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, he's a good friend of mine, and his videos are just crazy. I mean, last I checked, it was at 6 million views in 24 hours.
It's up to 11 million as of this time.
Wow.
And it dropped, Monday morning? So
right.
In 2 days' time, that's just nuts.
Yes.
845 horsepower?
Yeah, it's a crazy Mustang.
It's the only all-wheel drive Mustang ever built. It's got a sequential gearbox. It's got almost 900 horsepower engine. The car's just... It's a one-of-a-kind Mustang.
That is a beast.
It's a real beast.
The problem is, and you guys know this from videos and stuff, so he makes Gymkhana 1, right?
Yeah.
And my friends, the Martellis, that actually own the Mint 400, they film for the Parker 425 and stuff like that, they actually did the production of the first three Gymkhanas.
Uh-huh. I saw one in San Francisco. What number was that?
That was 5.
Okay, that was really cool.
So Ken was telling me, I was actually talking to him about this in Vegas a couple weeks ago. He said, the problem is he says, you do one and it does really good, and so then you do a second one and it does even better, and he's like, and then you have to continue to one up yourself.
Yeah.
So he says, the problem I've got now is he says, we've done San Francisco, we've done Los Angeles, I've built this amazing car, for one-off videos. He's like, how do I keep upping myself? He's like, I'm literally hitting a wall here.
So, I mean, to get the kind of, I mean, the idea is he runs through the streets of L.A., in this crazy car, and is somehow allowed to do it, like from alleyways to the main road to the freeways, everything. And I mean, the amount of planning that must go into closing off those roads for him to do that, and leaving lots of rubber on the roads too, by the way, I noticed that.
Yeah.
It amazes me that they allow, but I think it's very cool, you know?
Yeah, well, see, his brand director, that's actually the creative director of these, he's another good friend of mine, and I can tell you, it doesn't come cheap. You wave enough money in front of any city and they'll shut it down for you.
And who are the big sponsors of this one?
Ford and Monster Energy. So go figure, two of the biggest companies in America.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and DC Shoes doesn't hurt either. You know, so throw their money in there, and you know, you can make stuff happen. That's how they've shut down, you know, San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge. Who gets the Golden Gate Bridge shut
down? Nobody gets to shut that down.
Ken Block does. You know, it's
Ken Block.
He did what on a Sunday morning, early on a Sunday morning,
yeah,
or something.
I can't remember. But
I think on the San Francisco one, they ended up on a boat, right?
Yeah, a barge out in the bay. But like Ken said, he says what puts the pressure on me. He says is we get these streets and these freeways shut down, or the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's like, you know, I've got to do these stunts, and he's like, a lot of times you don't nail it on your first try. It takes five or six. But he says, literally with a freeway getting shut down, he says we have a small window of say 5 minutes to get our shot, and then they've got to open it back up. So
I will occasionally notice a little bit of rubber already on the road, which tells you it wasn't the first time. So that's pretty cool.
You know, no room for error. He's like, I got to hit my marks on the first try. I don't get a redo, you know? And he's like, puts pressure on me.
Right. No room for error at all.
Wow. Amazing driver. Look at that.
Really cool. Yeah. Ken Block's Gymkhana 7, Wild in the Streets of Los Angeles. It's worth a check out if you want to check it out.
I
just
want to try
YouTube.
That in my Focus.
How would the Focus do you think, if we were to shut down the streets of Parker for Josh to do a version of Gymkhana?
How long is that video?
It's like 12 minutes long.
All right, it'd be like 80 minutes, 85, maybe. Now, that's just getting through like Joshua Street Mall.
And
area.
Not really interesting either.
It wouldn't be. I would of course, signal appropriately.
You would, huh?
We've got Josh Aoki. We've got Josh Khanna.
Josh Khanna in a souped-up Ford Focus, nearly 150 horsepower.
What do you say we check in with a Naked Weather girl and see if...
Hey, and before we get to Naked Weather real quick, did you guys today... No joke. We had hail at Parker Motor Company.
Are you kidding?
Hail.
I saw the rain.
It lasted less than 30 seconds.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's a sign.
And it was a sunny day. Everybody goes, what is this? I go, this is called hell freezing over.
That's what it is. Freezing over. Wow.
But no joke. Hail at Parker Motor Company today.
That never happens.
That's a freak little cloud there. Well, I'm very excited about today's Naked Weather Girl.
Uh-huh.
And very excited.
Knocked it out of the park last time, Josh.
What is her name, Josh?
Her name is Haley.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Haley?
That's the greatest thing ever.
This is awesome. Josh.
Josh, you're not coming through this week, buddy. I think this might not be happening, dude. By the sound of that
call
dead
back,
air.
Call back. Yeah. She wasn't sure if it was us.
Oh, okay.
Who would be calling you, Haley?
This is so many of my first impressions with females right here. This is like all over again.
We need to figure out what the weather is all the way through Thanksgiving, too, because we won't be here next week.
Well, yeah, we'll try throwing some Thanksgiving weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good, right?
Yeah.
It's always perfect, almost perfect weather for that.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, is this Haley?
Hi, this is Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Hey, it's Josh and John and Jim over here.
What's Parker happening?
Hi, Josh. Hi, John. Hi, Jim.
What are you guys up to tonight? When I say you guys, I mean you.
At the moment, just taking a little bath.
Oh, we like this. We like the
Would you guys like to call back, or is it a good time?
No, this is a perfect time for Naked Weather.
Perfect time.
It is a perfect time for Naked Weather.
Perfect time.
So what we're looking for here, Haley, is not only the forecast for this weekend, but also if you could give us a little bit of a forecast for Thanksgiving and Black Friday, as they call it in the merchandise world. Can you help us out with that?
Sounds good. Here's your extended Parker Livecast forecast. Friday temperatures will reach around 70 degrees with a high on Saturday of 72 and a windy Sunday high of 73. Taking a look ahead to Thanksgiving, things will be cooling down on Turkey Day at 68.
Ooh.
And you'll enjoy shopping even more with a high of only 65 on Black Friday.
Wow.
That's your extended Parker Livecast forecast. Back to you, boys.
Hey!
All right.
Haley did all right with
Haley
the naked weather.
So is the bath, is it nice and warm? You got some bubbles in there? Are you using a loofah?
Yeah, nice little bubble bath. Yeah, a cleaning stick is what we call it.
A cleaning stick. Well, Haley, we're going to let you get back to your very naked bath. Thank you for the naked weather. We do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
68 on Thanksgiving Day, huh?
65 on Black Friday. That's a cool down.
So what are you guys shopping for on Black Friday? We haven't talked about that. I mean, this is a Thanksgiving podcast of Parker Live. And
I don't do any Black Friday.
I've never done Black Friday shopping.
Not even online?
No, I hate it.
So, I mean, Amazon always has some smoking stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you guys are like,
I think they're smoking stuff.
Geeks like me. I mean,
you know, if there was any, like, if I saw something that was like a new iPad mini for like $20, I'd definitely get all over that.
Right.
You mean you don't want like the complete Samford and Son collection for $14.99?
No.
Come on, Josh.
No, because I already have it.
Of course you do.
I know they have some ridiculous sales. They try to make it look like everything is what you need.
Yeah.
You know, it's
get
come on.
Nintendo 64 for $19.99.
You're like, that would have been awesome.
I know it's really dumb, but I don't get that motivated by discounts. I mean, you know, I should get motivated by 20% off, but I don't. It takes like 40 for me to get really interested.
You know, the thing is with it, it's if you really want a deal on electronics, you can get them any other time of the year, you know?
Right.
You just have to pay attention and watch, and you can get it. It's, you know, they have what, the doorbuster deals, and mm-hmm. those are always a steal, but they have like two available, and they have 100 people.
Those are designed for people to get trampled. That's the only reason they do
that. You know, and those are always good, but it's a loss leader, literally. I mean, you lose lives over those.
Yeah. It is. They want someone to get injured at the opening of every store. That way they know, translation, that's where the good deals were.
Right.
Somebody what was it last trampled. Year? That, was it last year or the year before? The guy took a stun gun and,
just started
and everybody's
people
running
out.
In and he started stunning people. And, do you remember reading that? Like, yeah. And he finally gets there and he's fighting somebody over this, like, I can't even remember what it was, some electronic, and he stuns them.
It makes no sense.
And he goes and he runs up to the front, and by then, like, all these security guards pull guns on him, and he gets arrested and thrown in jail. But I'm like,
of course.
Who goes Black Friday shopping with a stun gun?
Apparently Steve.
Dude, it makes no sense whatsoever.
It's out of control. It's out of control.
We
feed into it.
And I don't want to. The reason I've been quiet in this segment is because I don't want to go on a rant, and I feel like I'm about to go on a rant.
I'll just do it, John.
About Thanksgiving and people having to work and about blah. This whole Black Friday encroaching on Thanksgiving is just a bummer. It's a major league bummer.
Yeah.
And I have no, there's no redeeming factors for me.
Can't there be anything that's free of consumerism, honestly?
Yeah,
come on.
Can you stop for 2 seconds to appreciate life that you've been making your money for? Like, do we need to extend profiteering into every nook and cranny that you can stuff it?
Yeah. I don't think you should go on a rant, but
no.
I think... That's true, though, dude. It's just to save $25.
It's a shame, Josh. I'll tell you this, my friend. It's a goddamn shame.
Thanksgiving needs to be celebrated for what it's about and not for anything else, and that's gluttony.
That's right.
That's what it's about.
Diets out the window and...
It's about...
So
it's about a turkey.
Better question as we end this. What kind of pie are you guys eating on Thursday?
Pecan, if I can.
Pecan. I'm cherry.
Cherry. What's your flavor, John?
I have a less conventional pie to talk about, and that is banoffee pie. Look it up. It's like a
banoffee?
Banana toffee thing from where I'm from, the UK. It's kind of interesting. If you have a very sweet tooth, you will love it. I guarantee you right now.
Yeah.
I think we should all feel very thankful for each other. Now we're going to have a big love in here, so we're going to let you go. And we will see you not next week, but the following week. We're not going to be here for Thanksgiving week, but the week after Thanksgiving, the Parker Livecast will be back. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Oh, that was very good. Do that again.
Happy Turkey Day.
And again. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.